across the station, stepping on each other. Roger, you're good.
Hey, good morning, Sergeant Major. How you doing?
Good morning, General. How are you?
Hey, so we're going to film a little video this morning, and Sergeant Major and I sit down almost every morning. I grab my cup of coffee. It's always my Air National Guard mug that the Air Guard gave to me. And we sit down and we just kind of talk about the day and talk about what's going on, strategic priorities, other things with the Indiana National Guard. And Sergeant Major said to me the other day, you know, he really wished that, you know, our leaders and our soldiers and airmen could maybe hear some of the things that we talk about. So we're inviting you in to have coffee with us this morning and share some of the conversation. So it was all your idea, Sergeant Major.
Yep, I'm extremely excited for this moment. I love talking to soldiers and airmen. That's when I certainly get energy, so I'll have to act in some ways that these bright lights are them, but I certainly always get energy from you as well.
So we usually talk about what's on our mind, what's been happening, what's going on, and as of late, I guess appropriate, we spent a lot of time thinking about what transpired in 2025, the good, the bad, and where we're going in 2026, and we recently had our commander's conference, and so I think back to 2025 was a really big year, lots of change across the Department of now War, which is one of the significant changes. The refocus, I guess I would say, on the warrior ethos and on lethality and warfighting readiness, which really got me excited about being able to refocus the team and the airmen and our soldiers on what we're really here to do, what the mission is, which is why I've always said mission first. So last year in 25, I mean, for me, Sergeant Major, some of the things that come to mind is big year in the Air Guard, 181st continuing to do amazing things with the real world missions that they do, 122nd continuing to progress on the F-16s, looking forward to getting into IOC in 2026. Transformation happening across the Army, big changes in force structure there. Maybe some uncertainty, but also really, I think, positions us well and is a positive thing for the future. What stands out for you in 25?
Certainly all those things that you articulated well. Relentless enthusiasm. So reading the new FM-1 and us having the ability to host the Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael Weimer, and his amazing wife, Kimberly, and getting to have dinner with him and talk to him about FM-1 and relentless enthusiasm was certainly a professional and personal high moment for me and my wife and our force. I could watch Sergeant Major Weimer or SMA, I should say, read the back of a cereal box. The energy that comes out of him is absolutely remarkable. So that was probably my individual high watermark of 25.
So we recently had our commander's conference, and the intent there was to really impart upon our senior leaders of the Indiana National Guard the importance of the number one priority, which is warfighting readiness. The threats we face are real. The threats are dynamic, and it's paramount that our airmen and our soldiers are ready to face those threats for our state and our nation. And so we talked about that, and it's an interesting shift as we as an organization are shifting from the past, which is the COIN environment and the war on terror, and how we trained and how we organized. We had a lot of time. We knew when our mobilizations and rotations were coming. We knew years in advance. And so our training programs were handed to us. They were given to us to execute. Our leaders didn't have to think about a training plan or do much assessment on the organization and where their organizations were. They were just told, fill your formations, retain your troops, and the training will be given to you at time of need. But I think this LISCO environment that we're transitioning to requires us to be ready right now to fight a very different war. And it requires a different mindset, don't you think?
Yeah, certainly. As we talked before, and to highlight the Jimmy V speech, Never Give Up, and where he talks about it's important to know where you've been, where you're at, and where you want to be. Not the future, but where you want to be, as in being very intentional about it. I see us at that crossroads of where we were at compared to where we're at right now, and then the inflection point of that we have to change. And talking with SMA, you know, he had said that him and General George wanted us to be uncomfortable and to evaluate leaders as we transition in contact.
Change, you said that word uncomfortable. Change is uncomfortable, but change drives growth. And an organization that can change is an organization that can grow and an organization that can get better. And so what we talked about at the Commanders Conference was this idea that I've published the lines of effort for the organization, but what I really want the leaders and our soldiers and our airmen to focus on is one thing. There's one thing, and I'm trying to make it as simple as possible, and it's you have to focus on warfighting readiness. And so there was this discussion on what is warfighting readiness? And we have such a tendency, again, back to our history as an organization, to say, okay, warfighting readiness, great, what are my metrics? What are the five metrics you're gonna evaluate me against and that are gonna go on my NCOER or my OER that are universal across the organization so I know how to drive and build my plan? But it's different than that. It's not about that. It's not about the metrics. What does warfighting readiness mean to you? This was a ongoing discussion we had with the commanders.
Yeah, I'm starting to get more comfortable sitting in this scenario. I'm comfortable standing in front of 100 or 4,000 troopers or airmen and feeding off of them. And so,
does it make you more comfortable to hold a?
Yeah, there we go. I'd rather be throwing one of these and staring in these lights right now. But if I can think about the soldiers and airmen and connect, then really, that's what it's all about. And so, for me, what warfighting readiness means is being extremely physically fit. So it's the one thing almost every day that I believe that you can control the controllables. And then at certain points, there's things that unfortunately get out of your control. So being physically fit, being in the right paragraph in line, being MOS qualified, obviously shoot, move, and communicate, being at the right level of professional military education, and just getting your folks, so as an infantryman, getting your folks in the field, pushing them, testing the equipment. I'm a huge combo nut. Working your comms packages, and then being able to medically take care of yourself and take care of your comrades. And I certainly think that we've gotten away from that a bit. And so when I speak about the leader and the led, that's what makes sense to me. And as a young E4, when I change from what Sergeant Major of the Army would say, compliance to commitment, to use his words, I started to read the old Army leadership manual, Be No Do. And as those words, dynamic leadership and the attributes that a leader must have, those words were exploding off of those pages to me. And so the leader and the led, that's how we have been successful as a country and as a military for a couple hundred years. And so now my issue with that is we've put some things between the leader and the led. And I'll say PowerPoint is one of those things. So as we get back to the basics, I really don't want to see PowerPoint anymore if it's down at the company level other than a reference. I think it's the wrong thing. So at the end of the day, the leader rides out to the led and explains to them their intent, and the led tells them, hey, this is what's happening on the ground, and then they understand each other. When we have these things that are put in the middle, these mediums, then we turn to those to be led by something that's not alive, it's not a human, it's not a leader. And so then the led wonders why they're confused, and the leader struggles with why they're not a dynamic leader.
You talk about leadership, and I think leadership is what we're trying to empower and develop. Mm-hmm. This warfighting readiness is in the hands of the leaders. It's in the hands of battalion commanders. It's in the hands of company commanders and first sergeants. Those are the folks that own this warfighting readiness and get after it. And so there's the Army, a primer to our profession of arms, This Will Defend, pamphlet that's out there, put out by General George. There's some really good stuff in here if you struggle to understand what warfighting readiness is. And I think these things apply to the Air Guard just like it does to the Army, because it's basic competencies. And unfortunately, I have to put these on in order to read some of this. But it highlights, and it says, the most basic element of our vocation is to execute violence on our country's behalf and to embody an ethos of toughness, resilience, and a willingness to fight. We're expected to do things that the rest of society is not. And you have to have the warrior competencies, which are defined as every soldier must know how to fight, which means to shoot, move, communicate, render first aid in battle. That's why every soldier, no matter their specialty, learns these things in their initial training. These are the things that we have to continue to relentlessly focus on. Every time you get into a Humvee and drive it, it's a training opportunity.
Sure.
It's being an expert at the basics. Every time there's an opportunity for a convoy, you should follow the processes, follow the leadership processes, and use that as an opportunity to train soldiers and airmen at every single level on the basics and being experts at the basics. Because if we can't do our jobs, the jobs that of our MOS or our AFSC, then anything above that, any collective training above that, is just a house of cards. You have to be an expert at the basics before we can build on anything else. And so the focus right now has to be that every soldier and airman is an expert at the basics.
Yeah, certainly, General. And at the end of the day, all those things are perishable. And so if you're an E7 out there and you've been around and you've been on deployment, maybe in the corn environment, you know, do you know how to read a map and to train associate with a compass and a protractor? To me, as an infantryman, that is the base. And so when you don't know how to do those things, one, your soldiers and airmen, they know it, right? Just like Captain Sobel from Band of Brothers. They all knew he couldn't navigate. And so have the humility and the courage to get out there and relearn some of those skills. And then of course, have the ability to teach those skills.
So to do those things, you have to be ruthlessly focused on the basics. But it's not lost on me how tough this job is every single day. The vast majority of our force is a traditional soldier or airman, which I was for 30 years of my career. And so I understand what it means to try and balance your civilian job, to balance your family, and then fit in these responsibilities. Hopefully you do this because you believe in this, and you believe in this uniform, and you believe in the flag on your shoulder, and it's not just a paycheck. Because if you don't believe in it, then finding the time and energy to do it becomes more challenging and more difficult to do. And if you're a leader, your soldiers and airmen deserve the best. They deserve you as a leader. You might be asked to lead your soldiers or airmen into battle, and they have to be ready. And they're looking to you to make them ready to do that. But to do that, you've got to find the time. So that means that we have to strip away all the things that don't focus on warfighting readiness. We've empowered our commanders at every level to identify those things, those distractors to warfighting readiness, the distractors to training. identify those, raise those up the chain of command. Give us an opportunity to take those off your plate so that when you have drill weekend, every minute of every drill weekend is productive and focused on training and warfighting readiness. And we peel away as much of as we can of the distractors or, in some cases, things that are very important, but we just don't have time to do. I recognize we don't have all the time in the world to do all the things that we're asked. So we have to prioritize. And your litmus test for prioritization is, does this have an impact on warfighting readiness? If it doesn't, then we have to figure out how to get rid of it. And we work that through the chain of command, and you're empowered to do that and solve those problems.
Yeah, General, I love, as you know, the word belief. And I'm all in on the belief of our organization, our organizational tenets, our values. And as you heard me say before, and so our values that line our walls along with our fallen comrades that I look at quite often as I walk the halls of this building, they are certainly profound and beautiful words pertaining to leadership and integrity and so, however, they're beautiful words on paper that are framed. They come alive inside of the hearts and the minds and the spirits of our soldiers and airmen. And so when you go to belief, as a paratrooper, I always go back to Captain Dick Winters and that amazing book and that amazing miniseries as they're going into Bastogne. And that they were surrounded, and he said, we're paratroopers, we're supposed to be surrounded. And at the end of that episode, it closes with his voice saying, we were going into Bastogne, we didn't have the right cold weather gear, we didn't have enough ammunition, but we had a belief. We had a belief in our higher headquarters to get us the right equipment, those supplies came kind of late. But that leadership tone and that belief in each other led them through just a horrific scenario. So when you say belief, that's where I always think is Dick Winters heading into Bastogne and into a very difficult winter for the 101st.
So I want to go back and just kind of wrap up the warfighting readiness discussion with a couple of things. There's two more things.
Sorry, I keep taking this away from there.
You're good.
It's grenade.
This is how it goes. Give me the grenade. Don't pull the
grenade. I'm ready to throw it. Sorry. maybe give me the smoke.
I'll give you the spent round.
Okay.
How about that?
Now
I lost track on, but I got it. Hold on. I got it. So, a couple things when you think about warfighting readiness that I want to make sure we talk about and get your thoughts on is PME.
Yep.
Okay. So PME is a big part of warfighting readiness. It's not everything, but it is a big piece of warfighting readiness. So I want to hear your thoughts on PME. And then either right after that or we can come back to it, I want to talk about standards.
Yep.
So what do you think?
Yeah, so Command Sergeant Major John Raines, C. Raines, General Nordhaus's senior enlisted advisor, a year ago when the STEP promotion policy was suspended. He got all 54 state CSMs and CCELs on the line and talked about PME stagnation with E4s basically auto-promoting to E5. And that if we didn't lead and manage our people through PME, that the force would become stagnant. And then we would have issues within anywhere from 12 months to 24 months. So it's is that a difficult thing for Compo 1? I think it is for Compo 2. It certainly is, and it's something that getting back to the basics and warfighting readiness is going to enable us to achieve. Which is our soldiers and airmen have to meet height and weight. They have to have done their physical fitness test. And then be able to attend the course. And so what I've looked at, the basic leader course, is if we can't get that done well, then we'll create a bottleneck. So for me, it was PLDC, and it was ANOC and SLC and the Sergeant Major's Academy, and I just planned out every 2 to 3 years that I was going to attend different ASI producing courses, and that I knew that I had to do PME. So I don't know where we lost some ground and expectations and leadership, but it has been communicated over the last year at length, and we have a new PME SAG Nation policy coming out pertaining to that as well. And then you would also talk standards.
Well, before you jump off of that, let me finish the PME discussion. Mm-hmm. So look, from my perspective, PME is non-negotiable. It has to be done.
Yep.
PME is there to develop you as a soldier or an airman to perform the job that either you're in or the job that you aspire to and will be in. Yep. And so that's good for you and it's good for the organization. So PME has to happen first.
Yep.
And we need to make sure that across the organization that the PME first policy is executed. And as part of that, you have to meet the standards. You can't go to PME if you don't meet the standards.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's important every day to me, whether you like this statement or not. If you stand up as a leader in front of your formations at whatever level, company, battalion, brigade, division, or at the nominative level, and you don't look like you meet the standards, to me, you're already in my mind in a leadership deficit. And now you have to either say something or do something to get out of that leadership deficit, to just start it at zero. So you should look the standards, you should be the standards, you should set the example. And so there's been a lot of things that have come out lately on policy adjustments to that and getting back to the basics, being brilliant at the basics, as you hear SMA say a lot. And without it, without that formation, foundation, excuse me, to build a house. Without those standards and standards of discipline, then you'll struggle later as you start to add things on to that soldier and airman pertaining to kit and technology if you don't have the basics and the standards down.
We got a lot of big things coming in 2026 with the transformation, 76, transforming to an MBCT with the CRX coming up. The 122nd will be coming up on IOC for the F-16s. We've got the MIIEW battalion, which will be standing up this year. And so there's a lot ahead of us as we roll into 26. And I'm really excited about what we have. I think we set some good foundations. Set a road ahead in 25 so that we can get better in 26 and then even go farther in 2027. And we have Naugus, I don't want to forget about that. The National Guard Association of the U.S. Convention is in Indianapolis coming up in October, so that'll be a great opportunity to highlight the Indiana National Guard, great opportunity for professional development for all of our soldiers and airmen as well. What excites you this year?
Every morning, I'm excited. So as you know, I go to bed usually not all that impressed with myself as a leader. I've done that for a long time. I'm not really interested in successes or accomplishments. I tend to think about what I didn't do well, and I go to bed like that. It's probably not the healthiest way to live. And then in the morning, when I wake up and I drink my coffee and I start to do PT, I get excited about the day. So, and that's how I operate: is a day at a time, a task at a time, a goal at a time. And unless somebody can tell me a better way to achieve individual, collective, and organizational goals, I'm going to keep doing that. So what I'm excited about is tomorrow with you and our force, and having the humility that a leader must have, having the relentless enthusiasm that a leader must have, having the courage to potentially run across the field and take a life of someone that's life that needs to be taken, or to give your life to save a life that needs to be saved. That's what I think about, and it excites me every day, and I'm ready to go right now. Let's go.
Well, I guess we got some stuff to do. So I'm out of coffee, so I think that's all the time we've got. I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Yep, thank you.